Monday edition, excuse me, the Victory Monday edition, as the Packers topped the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football, final of 35-25. The Packers now 5-1-1. And Joshy, they still control their own destiny after a Week 8 Sunday Night Football win in Pittsburgh against their former quarterback, Aaron Rodgers. We have a ton to get to from that game, and what a win that was for the Green Bay Packers as they advance to 5-1-1 on the season. I just feel so good coming out of that one when I was feeling so not good at halftime. So excited to break that one down and dive into what was a really impressive win for Green Bay as they get ready to host the Carolina Panthers this upcoming Sunday at Lambeau Field. Alex Ruff, Josh DiMaggio, Will Summers, Hunter Vaughn with you as we are each and every other day, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, here on Mr. Irrelevant. I'm feeling good, Joshy. I'm feeling really good after that one. I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm feeling real good.
I'm feeling pretty dang good. I think that Jordan Love played his best game probably since the Dallas playoff game.
I agree.
I thought Matt LaFleur finally embraced what we all know to be the case about him and about Jordan Love and about how this offense should function. We saw them finally, after bashing their head against the wall with the run game and it not being effective, they finally decided to go to the pass game. And Tucker Kraft had another career day. He led the team in targets, and he did about, just about everything you needed him to do.
I'll say this, though. It felt like they were getting their butts kicked at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
From every angle, right? Like the Steelers were effectively running the ball. Aaron Rodgers was doing things successfully offensively. For the Packers offensively, they couldn't really do a whole lot. They just had the first quarter touchdown at the break. And it just felt like nothing was working super well for Green Bay. But then they come out of the break. They score 28 points in the second half. Jordan Love completes at one point 20 consecutive passes, something Aaron Rodgers has never done in his illustrious Hall of Fame career. So there was a ton of good in that second half. But I would argue, and we could talk about a few different things from that second half, including the defense and the way they were able to get after Aaron Rodgers with three sacks. But I walked away from this one going, training wheels are off. It looks like Matt LaFleur fully trusted Jordan Love in that scenario. He let him throw the football. And you're right, they went away from the run game because it wasn't working in the first half.
Yeah.
But Love was making it work in terms of throwing the football. Now, he had a couple passes, including that 59-yarder to Tucker Kraft, where you're going, okay, I don't know what happened there, but it worked.
I'm totally fine with him throwing the ball up. It's Tucker Kraft. He's either going to win or it's going to be a completion. Incompletion.
Yeah.
Like, he in those spots, I want you to put your guys in a position to win. And that's what he did in a big way.
And granted, Pittsburgh's pass defense has been awful this season, right? I'm not going to try to twist this in a direction
yes.
It's not. Completing 20 passes in a row in the National Football League is unheard of. That's really, really good by Love. Obviously, by far the longest streak of his career.
Tied a franchise record.
Yeah. Three touchdown passes, over 350 yards. Completion percentage was through the roof. Quarterback rating of 134.2. I thought he was terrific. And to your point, Josh, I thought it was maybe, and I don't know that this is really going out on a limb, I think it was his best regular season game of his career. In terms of, it just looked like he was in total command the entire game,
Especially
the second half. I thought Love was masterful in a game where he was truly a difference maker. And obviously, Tucker Kraft was a huge difference maker, and we'll talk about Kraft in a minute. But I thought Love was an apparent difference maker in this game and a huge reason as to why they walked out of Pittsburgh with a 10-point victory.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tucker Kraft was the best player on the field, but second and not far behind him was Jordan Love.
Yep.
It's hard for me to, I don't think Jordan Love, any of the offensive struggles in the first half were Jordan Love related. If you were to point to anything and nitpick, it's the utter reliance on Romeo Doubs and throwing him go balls and like, putting a guy who's not that great at creating separation in spots like that and making tight window throws, he obviously trusts him with, which I guess stands for something, but they need to go away from that. That needs to be Tucker Kraft as the security blanket and not Romeo Doubs as often as it is. That's the one thing that I would point to, but a lot of that's play calling dictated as well. There's a hot guy that is the one you look to immediately when pressure gets there. And it just so happens that Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff have decided that guy should be Romeo Doubs. But I didn't have a problem with the Watson throw. I think he put it in a spot for Christian Watson to win. He threw it over the head, put enough air on it.
That was a beautiful throw.
I don't know about beautiful.
Oh, dude, he extended the play, got out of the pocket, he flung it, and it ended up in a spot where only Watson could get it.
Yeah, but he was so open, he could have scored a touchdown. So
you were mad it was a little bit under.
No, it was a safe throw. He made a throw that he thought,
sure, okay,
Watson's going to have the best chance to catch this. I'm not going to lead him out there. I'm not going to throw it like away from him and make him chase it. I just want a big play completion, and that's what it's an explosive play, and it counts at the end of the day. So, I mean, we're getting nitpicky because he was like nearly perfect for large parts of the game.
Yeah, he sure was.
Yeah.
Sometimes it feels like Matt LaFleur makes the halftime adjustment that he should have in his game plan going into a game. Like, I don't know how often he looks at the defensive ranks, but I could have told you that the Steelers were going to be better against the run than they were against the pass. And I think the Packers in the past three games average 7.7 points. That kind of goes hand in hand.
Two important additions. Matt LaFleur doesn't care about efficiency. He doesn't care that that team's worse at it. He's going to try and run it no matter what. He knows it can put him at a disadvantage situation. That's just how he's going to call an offense, and that's how he's always going to do it. I disagree with it.
Yep.
I think it's wrong.
Yep.
I think they need to be a pass-first team and help that and use that to open up the run. But to me, it doesn't matter. He's going to run the ball and probably more than they need to. I mean, that's the worst pass defense in the league right now.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. Yep.
And
they have now beaten Dallas.
And they bashed their head against the wall for 2.5 quarters before they decided to
start flinging it a little bit. Yeah, no, you're right about that. I will say too, to Will's point though, I think there's a level of sometimes I think LaFleur is just going to go, hey, I'm going to try to assert my dominance early.
He just has the same game plan and he doesn't like cater it to the defense that he's playing against.
Yeah, but I think it's an affinity for Josh Jacobs. I think that tells you how he feels about his running back.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't good yesterday.
Outside of the touchdown, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Manny Wilson was better. Far better.
I think that we can almost say that for a second time this season.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's been hurt. He has the calf thing. I don't think they're catering the offense to him as much as to Josh Jacobs as much as they did last year. And largely that was due to necessity, that Josh Jacobs was such a feature of the offense. But he prefers a different style than what the Packers are good at. And the play action passing game functions best off of. So, yeah, they've kind of tried to middle it and it hasn't had the results we've been looking for so far. I do think there are certainly going to be opportunities where Josh Jacobs is the difference maker in a game. I think he's incredibly reliable. I think he has a knack for making big plays when they need it. It's just, I wish they were quicker to decide, all right, not working. And that way you don't go down. You don't have that sort of deficit going into half. Also on Will's like second half adjustments don't really happen. Those are sort of a talking point. You have a game plan. And you just sort of run the other plays that you have in the game plan more.
I'm not even positive the head coach speaks to the team enough, though.
No, he'll talk to his coordinators and stuff.
Yeah, and you know this is the time the players go get an orange and relax for a few minutes, and then they're back out there. So I don't know that halftime adjustments are. You're right, Josh. I don't know that they're as real. Obviously, the way he play calls might change.
Put it this way. The halftime adjustment is him getting a breather and going, I got to stop doing what was failing. And that's his adjustment.
And to Will's point, he should do that before the halftime.
Yes. Yeah. You should have time within.
What Will is saying is correct.
It felt like he took the leash off of Jordan Love in the second half.
Totally.
He was completely unlocked, which I thought could have been accomplished in the first half.
I agree.
It should be against good teams.
But here's the thing. It's just something I don't think we've seen a lot of in Love's tenure as the quarterback. It seems like I've used the term training wheels, which is probably a little strong, but it seems like sometimes LaFleur like almost wants Love to just, you know, like kind of control the game manage this.
Game manage.
Instead of go out and be a star quarterback, which I think we, especially after last night, we all think Love can be capable of being a star quarterback.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think that's going to be the case moving forward. I think we're going to see the same tentativeness and the same trying to control the offense, because guys like Shanahan and McVay, the reason they run offenses that way, the reason they don't like people calling audibles is because they want to micromanage every portion of the game. There was a time in Jared Goff's career where Sean McVay was reading the defense and then telling him which guy was most likely to be open based on the coverages into his head. That's the amount of control these guys like to exert. Mm-hmm. So Jordan Love, a little bit of a freelancer, known to get a little gunslinger.
Is that bad?
No, I don't think it is. I've never thought it was.
I don't either.
I just think that Matt LaFleur is more comfortable when guys go out and do exactly as they're told and asked.
Yeah, I think so too. He likes the control aspect of that, you know. But all in all, I mean, like, I'm walking out of this one in Pittsburgh going, okay, they really do have an MVP level quarterback. Now, in terms of will he win the MVP this season, the answer is probably not. But I've been waiting to see that on display from Love. Maybe not even to the level we saw it yesterday, because I'm not asking for 20 completions in a row. But to the point where on the Watson throw, where he's extending the play, he's freelancing a little bit, he's kind of trying to figure out how he can extend this play, and boom, it's a 33-yard gain. Or the Tucker Kraft throw. Things are falling under pressure fast. He sees an opening. He throws it to the moon, and Kraft finds it, and Kraft does what Kraft does, and makes that into a 59-yard gain. So there was just several moments yesterday and last night with Jordan Love where I go, ooh, I've been waiting to see something like that here in 2025. And we saw it, which is great. And it felt like once the Packers got in the driver's seat of that game, I mean, and I kind of felt this way even when it was 16-7, and it really should have been 13-16, was the Packers feel like the better team in this game. But that really came to fruition in the second half, and especially early in the fourth quarter when they got back on top. So all in all, really, really good stuff. Quick question on Love. Do we believe he's in the MVP conversation? Not as a favorite necessarily, but has he reopened that door? Can he win the MVP this year?
I think the Vegas odds would tell us he is.
He's like at 10th, I think. He's with a mixture of guys, including Jonathan Taylor at plus 2,000.
Yeah, well, Jonathan Taylor's not going to win it as good as he's been and will continue to be. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. The thing is, you have to win big-time games and big moments. Beating Aaron Rodgers on Sunday Night Football is one of those. And you have a couple more opportunities with Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving game you have.
In 2 weeks, you have Monday Night Football against the Eagles.
Yeah, so yeah. Like those are the places where that will become a real, actual conversation.
I'm looking forward to, I'll get to do Mr. Irrelevant Live from the trio that day. That's right, because it's a Monday.
Monday night.
A little pregame show for us that day. I took the next day off, by the way. I don't know if I've told you guys that yet.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I'll pick up the pieces.
Strofe day.
Strofe day.
Strofe day.
Thanks, Will. Thanks in advance. TIA. Okay, Tucker Kraft. My goodness, is that guy good? 7 catches. 143 yards. 2 touchdowns. And some big time blocks, which I think are flying under the radar a little bit, as TJ Watt was a non-factor in that game. It was National Tight End Day, which I didn't know until yesterday. We'll get to that a little bit. But he was just awesome. I mean, he has catapulted himself now with 2 massive games, 1 in week 2 against Washington, and obviously last night against Pittsburgh, among some other good performances. He has catapulted himself into the conversation of the best tight end in football. I mean, it's hard to identify a whole lot of tight ends who are as good at both the receiving and blocking parts of being a tight end as Tucker Kraft is. I mean, there's a legitimate conversation to have that we have now identified him as the Packers' best tight end since Mark Chmura, which is exciting because he's been that efficient here in year 3. And I know you've already said it, Joshy. Extend this man. Go ahead. Get the paper in front of him tomorrow, because this is a guy you're going to want around with Jordan Love. He was awesome. He was the best player on the field last night.
Yeah, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say he's the best tight end in the NFL. I think he's the most complete right now. Obviously, George Kittle is dealing with injury and hasn't had the season thus far that he had so hoped. But I believe he's 2nd in the NFL in yards for a tight end. I believe he's somewhere closer to 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th in terms of targets, which just shows you just how good he is. His ability to create yards after he makes a catch is truly significant and a huge cheat code for the offense, because that you don't need him to threaten downfield for him to make big explosive plays. Why it took Matt LaFleur this long to figure out he needs to be a bigger feature in the offense, we can debate that. But the good news is it's happening, and he is showing up big time and contributing in a massive way. He is, to me, the number one offseason priority for the Packers. And I think he's going to have every right to demand tight end one money to reset the market.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. Hopefully they can afford it, considering they have the top paid non-quarterback on their payroll. But maybe they'll save a little money on Brandon McManus, which we'll get to in a bit. I do want to hear from, to Josh's point, it seemed obvious, I think, to us as Packers fans that, yes, just feed that man, please. Build the offense around him, please. Matt LaFleur, after the game, was asked, hey, do you think it's realistic to build the offense around your tight end and Tucker Kraft? Here was Matt LaFleur's response last night.
We'd be crazy not to. He was a beast. He was a man possessed. And, like, you just got to find ways to get him the ball. And, you know, the first touchdown was a cold run where we spit the ball out on the run alert, and the guys, the receivers, I can't say enough about those guys, just the effort that they bring in regards to not only the pass game, which is to be expected, but in the run game, blocking for the backs or blocking for Tuck in that situation. So those guys really stepped up and did a great job.
It's an awfully different tone.
It sure is. Just a week later, about feeding your star players, and by the way, a guy by the name of Christian Watson was fed quite a bit, four uh-huh. catches for him in his debut on the season. Matthew Golden, on the other hand, clearly dealing with an injury of sorts, not very featured. He was on the injury report Friday, was questionable going in yesterday.
The hip. Yeah.
And was not heavily featured last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much of that is injury-related versus we don't know where to use this guy, so we're just going to throw him nonsense and manufacture him touches despite these touches not being what he does.
Well, I hope that's not the case, but six touchdowns for Tucker Kraft. That is amongst the most for tight ends. Jake Ferguson in Dallas also has six touchdowns on the season. Tucker Kraft, 469 receiving yards. That is second amongst tight ends, only behind rookie Tyler Warren in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty good year for him so far. Mm-hmm. Pretty good year for old Tuck. So awesome game for him last night. Good to hear LaFleur change his tone a little bit on featuring him going forward. Now, actions speak louder than words, Joshy, so we need to make sure that continues to be the case.
Yeah, just the fact that this happened so close to one another, those two comments, and the fact that Matt LaFleur's reaction to Romeo Doubs being featured so much, the offense not looking that good, and then it looks good when you do it to Tucker Kraft, is just like, have some more composure and say, yeah, we didn't get the looks we wanted, or something along those lines.
Well, we will find out together if Matt LaFleur is featured in this week's edition of Stock Up, Stock Down, which we do after each and every Packers game. It's only an indication of where you were at after a game. And this week, it's a 35-25 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've got some stocks going up, some stocks going down. It is time for another edition of Stock Up, Stock Down.
To stay undaunted.
Stock up
means
stock up.
Shout out to Pat Murphy sneaking in there. I was a little daunted at one point last night. I will admit that. At around halftime, was a little daunted. But we start with a stock up. I've already talked about it. It's Jordan Love. I thought he was just unbelievable. Nothing short of spectacular last night in a primetime victory. He furthers the narrative, which I find so funny because it's such a nitpicky stat. But Jordan Love is the greatest quarterback in the history of Sunday Night Football. Has the best passer rating. He is now 5-0-1 when he starts on Sunday Night Football. The tie obviously coming earlier this year against Dallas. But he was just terrific. I loved his improvisation.
Hello.
Easy for me to say. The way he was freelancing is the word that Josh used earlier. The way he was extending plays. I just thought he'd made so many things look easy, which is what you look for in your star quarterback. So stock up to the QB, Jordan Love.
Stock up.
We already talked about him, but it's Tucker Kraft. Best tight end in all of the NFL. The more he's used, the better he looks, the more he wears on defenses. He is able to, in a way that few other guys in the NFL can, create more yardage than they are given. I mean, he took like pretty much a simple slant route and then just ran past everybody and threw the last guys into the end zone. He is the most important non-quarterback portion of this offense moving forward.
Stock down.
This has become the special teams portion of this program, it seems. So I will start with the punt returners. They have tried, I think, five guys back there now. Keyshawn Nixon wants no part of it, despite what he says, as he muffs one. And then Rich Bisaccia doesn't want Keyshawn Nixon a part of it. They've tried Romeo Doubs. They've tried Matthew Golden. They've tried Savion Williams. They've tried Keyshawn Nixon. Nobody is working back there. Please find a returner. Please find somebody to just do that job, because it ain't working, whatever you're trying with. Punt returners, a stock down this week.
Stock down.
Let's stick on special teams. And no, I'm not going to point to the flags that they got again on special teams. I'm pointing to the kicker, Brandon McManus, who was injured, missed a couple games. Lucas Haversick ended up replacing him and doing well. And then this week, our guy McManus, I don't want to call him our guy because I don't have any guys that are kickers. We don't support kickers on this program, at least from my end. Brandon McManus shorts one and then hooks one. Can't have that. The game was closer than it needed to be. I can have a little forgiveness for coming up short, 57-yard field goal outside on the road. But then to hook that next one.
But when he hooked it, good.
Yeah, and maybe he came back too early. Maybe he heard the footsteps of Haversick, whatever it was. It was not great.
Whether he heard the footsteps of Haversick. Yeah, two misses for him. Haversick in only two games as a Packer. 10 for 10 on field goals and extra points, including the franchise record 61-yard field goal make. Imagine that will be quite the conversation at 1265 Lombardi Avenue this week, but a very fair stock down to McManus.
Stock up.
Christian Watson was awesome in his return. Four catches, just under 100 yards. You realize why they signed him to that contract extension before he returned. It was good to see. It wasn't, as far as I'm aware, I haven't looked at the snap counts, but I don't think he was on too big of a snap count because he was out there quite a bit. He's a big physical receiver, runs, takes the top off of defense, still looks like he's got his speed. I thought he looked really good in his return game. Granted, it's the worst pass defense in the league. It's good to see Watson back out there. You know how big of a part of this offense he is, and I thought he certainly looked the part in his debut.
I thought he looked like he did when he got hurt last year. He contested catches, securing the ball, and not just being a guy who's going to run past you. He actually was doing wide receiver things, and that was very encouraging to see. Because now it's becoming, especially after Jayne Reed comes back, who I have no doubts about him, and being able to pick up and get back to speed probably by the time of the playoffs, that's a passing attack that gets really scary for opponents.
Yeah, I'm curious to see. I mean, as he continues to get back to football shape, can some of those blocks on the outside get better? Those were, I saw you whiffed on a few.
Yeah.
He also had a good one when Tucker Kraft scored in the first quarter.
That's true. So... but I think that's just getting back to football speed. I'm not holding that against him. But like, for example, you see guys like Malik Heath still getting snaps. It's because he's a good blocker, right? Yeah. And that's how he carves out.
35 snaps in his first game back from major reconstructive surgery. Pretty good. All in all, he was a positive.
I'll just throw this out there. That's more than Micah Parsons was on week one.
Yeah.
So pretty good sign for a guy coming back from an ACL. Good to have Christian Watson back in the fold.
Stock up.
My stock up is to Carrington Valentine. I feel like I've been pounding his drum basically all offseason and into the regular season. I thought it was a mistake that they were playing Nate Hobbs over Carrington Valentine. Hobbs went down to four snaps, and Valentine went up to a full-time player. The Steelers tried to test him. It didn't work all that well. And clearly, they thought they had a better advantage going at Keyshawn Nixon, which I think tells you all you need to know about Carrington Valentine. They, much like Rashid Walker, kept trying to find guys to replace him. Mm-hmm. And Carrington Valentine keeps balling out every time he touches the field. I did find it interesting. Halfley gave such a defense of Nate Hobbs and how he would return, and then let him see the field four total times.
Was that it?
Yes.
I mean, I know he wasn't out there a lot.
Yes.
He played credited, four snaps?
He got credited with four snaps. I imagine those were all dime coverage calls.
Because Valentine played, what, like 46 out of 50 yeah. snaps
was,
or something like that?
He was out there for most of the game.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that low for Nate Hobbs. But it makes sense because I can imagine where Aaron Rodgers would have been throwing the football had he been on the field more. And that would have been in the direction of Nate Hobbs. Yeah, look, that pass breakup that didn't actually count as a pass breakup to Roman Wilson, that final touchdown Pittsburgh scored. I loved what he did on that play. He stuck with it. He played through it. Ultimately, Roman Wilson made a great catch on what was needed with, what do they call that, replay assistance?
Yes. Expedited replay.
Whatever it's called. And it was outside the 2-minute warning, so everybody on the Tirico and Collinsworth were confused on when you can use it and when you can't use it and when you need to challenge, when you can't challenge. Because it was called incomplete on the field. But I loved Valentine hanging in there and eventually ripping the ball out. And what looked like it wasn't a catch ultimately being a catch.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to fault them for that in a game where you're winning by three scores or two scores, whatever it was at that point. So good game by Stevie.
Stock down.
Not so good on the other two. Keyshawn Nixon looked lost a lot of last night. And to your point, Nate Hobbs barely played. So clearly his stock is trending in the wrong direction. But Keyshawn Nixon was a disappointing on defense. And obviously he had the muffed punt as well. Just a rough evening for 2-5, who I still think is a good player, but certainly not his best night defensively, guarding DK Metcalf and company. I thought Rodgers had a pretty good night, all things considered, and that was partially because Keyshawn Nixon did not have a very good night, all things considered.
Stock down.
So I got one left. Oh, forgot about this one.
Uh-oh.
Stock down to Josh Jacobs and the Packers' run game as a whole. I did think Emmanuel Wilson looked good in the limited opportunities he got, but some of those also came via the pass game. Josh Jacobs has been dealing with injury. He hasn't been incredibly efficient. His rush yards over expected is lower than you would like it to be. And whatever's going on with this offensive line that was great last year at run blocking, they are not the same this year. I don't know if that's guys getting moved around, guys being injured and not playing as well. Whatever the reason is, or whatever the symptoms might be, the run game has not been good enough, and the Packers continue to look extremely ineffective when they do choose to go to the run.
You're spot on. I love seeing Emmanuel Wilson make the most of his opportunities, though.
You've done probably the biggest reverse course on him out of any player I've seen in your time with ESPN Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You are cursing his name and his touches.
Well, I love seeing our guy Bill.
And now you are all about it.
Bill, who was with us during our watch party against the Niners 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When I was doing the cursing of Emmanuel Wilson. The very first thing that Bill said in the chat today was, Strophy, we have a solid RB number two, our boy E. Wilson. Emmanuel Wilson has been really good this year. And that's really good to see. All things considered, that's a guy we could have given another stock up to, given that Marshawn Lloyd hasn't been able to get on the field. And that's a guy they used a quality draft pick on to hopefully be a quality RB2 for this team. But Emmanuel Wilson's made the most of his opportunities. And he was the leading rusher for Green Bay last night. So there you go. That's stock up, stock down. What did we miss? Let us know on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison. And I imagine Will will probably let us know what we missed. Did we miss anything?
No, I think we covered it. Shout out the Packers fan base. 2 road games in a row and 2 games in a row where the home quarterback has had to use a silent count.
Shout out.
Got it. No stock down to Romeo Doubs?
I am going to stock down Romeo Doubs because I think they're going to trade him.
I think Matt LaFleur says over my dead body.
Yeah, I think Josh is right.
I think they should look to trade him.
I also, the Seahawks re-cooling. They're looking at shopping him, and I think the Seahawks could really use a guy
like
Romeo Doubs.
The Titans just traded Roger McCreary, the cornerback, as well, so the market is getting thinner and more expensive.
I think they'd also have to give up a draft pick, which I don't think they'll do.
I don't think this is a hot take. I don't think the Packers are buying at the deadline.
I don't either. I can disagree with that. I think if you're going to show all in like the Micah Parsons did, why not buy all the way in?
That's the thing, though. You don't know. They could have turned that leaf over to be the buyers now.
I mean, they've been rumored interest in everyone, but that's the Packers. That's what they do.
Yep. They look into everything.
I did see that McCreary was the guy ESPN predicted that they would be one of the top.
Yeah, I think
candidates.
He was like the 17th top trade prospect, and Kingsley Anagbare wasn't far behind him.
And sixth or something.
Six, seven.
Nope.
But no, I'm curious to see if they are even in conversations. Next Tuesday is the trade deadline, a week from tomorrow. So we'll see. But I think Micah Parsons was their swing, and I don't see them being more aggressive come the deadline. I mean,
we could be proven wrong. We've been proven wrong on Goody now, pretty much in two consecutive off seasons.
Well, also just twice this off season, drafting a wide receiver in the first round and then swinging for Micah.
Yes,
but you're right, signing McKinney and Jacobs last year.
Right, not what we expected. Not to be top buyers in specific markets like that. So I can't rule it out. It just feels very Packers to, we're gonna hunt for guys on practice squads and try and find players that way.
Mm-hmm. You can't stop what's coming on YouTube. Just says Nick's in his ass.
I don't think he played quite as bad as ever. The penalties, one was a bad penalty. Yep. That's the holding call on Kelvin Austin. Not a great call. The DK one is like whatever, or the one down the sidelines was on Roman Wilson. That one is like, I'd love for him to get his head around there, but I mean, that pass offense wasn't like lighting the Packers up.
No.
It was that dink and dunk crap.
Especially towards the end, second half.
You obviously want less penalties, and it's pretty clear that the Steelers said, hey, we're going to go after this guy and he's going to hold or interfere, so make sure you watch it. I don't think it's a massive issue. I do think the depth is an issue because right now Nate Hobbs just seemingly isn't starting level.
Clearly.
Yeah.
They clearly don't view him as starting level.
Correct. And that then you start to get pretty thin behind him, because if you can't trust him in the case of an injury, then you're fighting from behind.
Who are we going with? Like, where does the depth chart go from there? I take pride. I typically know the Packers roster really well. Who's even on it after him? I mean, like, obviously you're mixing in Javon Bullard in the slot quite a bit.
Bo
Melton.
Yeah. Bo knows.
Is there 7th round pick from Tulane, Michael Robinson, on the roster?
You know, I don't remember what happened behind those three. Because I know Kadar Holman was one of the guys they were talking about.
I think
about.
He got cut.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
Kalen King, I believe, also was cut.
Yeah. I don't know if he was or not.
Valentine, Nixon, Melton, Hobbs. Kamal Hayden.
Kamal Hayden,
guy back there.
And that's it?
That's the roster. Those are the five corners they have, and one of them's a wide receiver more than he's a corner.
And the other guy they use at corner is a safety.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I wonder where they're going to go in the draft this spring.
Well, you thought that last year too, didn't you, Hunter? And they didn't until the 7th round.
Yeah.
Also, Jair Alexander, another inactive.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Against who did they play again yesterday? I'm pretty sure they got a win, if I'm not mistaken.
The Ravens.
Yeah, I think the Ravens got a win yesterday.
I don't know. Let's get to it in Will's week.
All right, let's do it. Each and every Monday, Will Summers gives us his week in review. Apparently, there's going to be some Bears chatter. I like that. Will Summers, the floor is yours, buddy. Chris Berman.
Let's start in Baltimore, where the Bears faced off against a Ravens team that won the AFC North last season and may have cheated by spoofing an injury report. Wah! The Ravens were hen-lightened that they have Derrick Henry, as he would run it in from 2 yards early in the second quarter to give them a lead. Cairo Santos was almost 2-for-2 on field goals in the first half before coming up Will Summers short on a 58-yard field goal, as the Ravens would lead 10-6 going into the half. Down 16-6 going into the fourth quarter, DeAndre Taylor Swift ran it in for Kel 6 to make it 16-13, Ravens still ahead. The Bears would get the ball back, but Caleb Williams would make Ben Johnson green after throwing a bad interception to Nate Wiggins. The Ravens would go on to win 30-16. Meanwhile, Drake May is really good. Let's go to Pittsburgh, where the Packers went on to take on Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Down 3-0 in the first quarter, Trucker Kraft drove past the rest stop and barreled his way into the end zone to give the Packers a 7-0 lead. Chris Boss Wellington was perfectly seared for the Steelers on the night, as he was buttery smooth and drilled 3 50-plus yard field goals that were center cut. Right before the half, Aaron Rodgers found Chimere DK Metcalf for a 2-yard touchdown pass to give the Steelers a 16-7 lead going into the half. Early in the third quarter, the Packers' offense finally had their aha moment as Take-Meon Williams scored his first NFL touchdown on an 8-yard pass from Jordan Love. Early in the fourth quarter, Jordan Love got his bright spot back as Christian Watt's son burned the defense for a 33-yard play. Nice. Later in that drive, Josh J. Corn on the Cobb barbecued the Steelers' defense to establish the run and score a 3-yard touchdown. But the Packers weren't done yet as Pucker Kraft iced the game with his second touchdown of the game, finishing with 143 yards on 7 catches. Jordan Glove looked like OJ the way he was making a run at the MVP as he had 360 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. As Aaron Rodgers had flashbacks of when he went to Egypt and was buried under the pyramid of Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary all night. There also may be a kicking controversy as McManus missed 2 field goals in the second quarter. But all in all, the Packers would walk away with a 35-25 win in Pittsburgh with your Will's Week in Review. I'm Will Summers.
Jordan Glove is your best line ever.
I had to get clearance from the boss on that one.
Are you the boss?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, any OJ reference you do want to be careful about. But I thought Will did a great job this week. Thank you. I do think you end up writing the joke, but then you step on your own joke by saying the name correct first and then having to correct
it. Tucker Trucker Craft.
Also, when you read Trucker, it just looks like Tucker.
Yeah.
R just hides.
Yeah, that's your brain filling you in. Maybe you need some practice sessions. You like go into one of the studios by yourself and just
look in a mirror.
Yeah. I recorded it, but then it's kind of weird when I'm just sitting here and it's playing.
It's true.
Also, when you write it out, are you typing it in all caps? Because then the R is going to stand out more. You could do that.
I am in all caps, and I phonetically type it out, too, to break up the syllables.
Oh, so you're just having...
Wow, you're a phonetics guy.
Yeah, so I'm just messing up that badly.
Phonetics guy. speaking of changes around here, Josh is standing right now. What's going on?
My leg fell asleep, and then I decided maybe I should just be a little bit of a stander.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I was just sitting weird. I was so amped to talk about the Packers. We didn't spend a lot of time talking about Aaron Rodgers.
No, I wanted to do that here, and then we'll get to what we missed. Thoughts?
I think we saw all the reasons why the Packers moved on from him at the time they did. I also saw a guy who was totally unwilling, despite being down for, I don't know, a non-insignificant portion of the game, who was totally unwilling to give the other team, his former team, the satisfaction of a turnover. They were going to, he was going
that's
to.
Why, that's why you think they were doing the dink and dunks. And
I mean, starting the game, that has worked for other offenses thus far this season. But when you're losing and you can't get anything going, you got to start threatening them downfield. And they just barely did that. Even as the game became more and more in the Packers' favor, he didn't want to put the ball at risk. And then he just took sacks instead.
He yelled a lot.
Sure did. Don't miss that.
No, I don't either.
I don't know who he was yelling at on the one DK where Carrington made the DK pass where Carrington Valentine made a nice play in the end zone. I mean, he just like swiped the ball and made a good play. It's classic Aaron. It's somebody else's fault. They didn't do exactly as he had imagined in his head.
Yeah.
I'm sure he wasn't thrilled with Arthur Smith at times either, who, by the way, they called a pass in the first quarter in the middle of the field to a sixth tackle.
Yeah, well, that was one of their first plays.
Yeah, weird.
That was really strange.
Yes.
They were getting real cutesy with it right away.
Yes.
And then Aaron later made a nice throw down the right sideline to DK.
Uh-huh.
But and where you're like, oh, okay, old man still got it a little bit. But
yeah, I mean, he's still got an arm. It's just he can't move.
No, he's immobile.
His arm, too, because he's throwing off platform a lot because the pocket's collapsing around him, doesn't look as good at times. When he's got the pocket and he can rear back and heave forward, it's still there. But his body's just not won't do what he wants it to as much anymore.
Mm.
And I thought that became fairly obvious.
I thought one play that I just loved, and nobody will remember this play because nothing happened on it other than an incomplete pass, was in the fourth quarter after Rodgers had been sacked 3 times. He had just been sacked the 3rd time, and he rolled to his right. He got rid of the ball, and he felt somebody smack his hand.
Yeah.
And he turned around. He saw who it was, knew exactly who it was.
Yes.
Micah Parsons. And he could just had that look on his face like, damn, he's so good.
Yeah. So fast.
Just can't contain him.
I think Aaron Rodgers being so aware of who's pass rushing him actually hurts him, because it just felt like he heard Micah's footsteps all night, where a quarterback who was unaware that Micah was even there might have played a little more fearlessly.
What was louder? Was it Rodgers hearing Parsons, or was it McManus hearing Haversick?
I think Rodgers hearing.
Yeah, because that one hurts a lot more.
Yeah.
It sure does.
And Parsons.
Well, unemployment hurts.
Rodgers ran.
I'd rather be unemployed than
Rodgers
have to
ran
take a
into sacks because of Mike Parsons. Even when he got pushed past the quarterback, he said, "I know that mother bleeper's back there, and if I even let him get close, it's going to be bad for me." So then it put Aaron Rodgers of trying to scramble and get out of pockets, which he obviously just can't do like he used to be able to do.
Yeah.
Also, credit Aaron Rodgers for being sentimental about Green Bay for the first time in his career leading up to the loss against them.
Yeah.
I think he kind of just saw the loss coming and figured his best escape plan, so to speak, was to just
be the nice guy,
which I think he accomplished.
So there's only two defenses in the NFL with two guys in the top 10 in the league with sacks. The Packers are one of them. The other, can you guess it?
Is it the Broncos?
It is the Broncos. Nick Benito and Jonathan Cooper, both in the top 10, but Gary with 7.5 now after another 2-sack night for him. Yeah. He's getting that double-digit sacks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's got to happen. This has to be the year.
Who did the Broncos play yesterday?
Has to be the year. Who did the Broncos play yesterday?
Got to be
literally
honest.
Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, is this a...
That's a lash out.
We're all just asking. No, we're all just asking. I like how we're all asking.
Yeah, that was definitely a lash out.
I was just asking.
That was a stray.
All right, hold on. How you feeling?
Not good. Okay. The Bears, I mean, let's just have an honest conversation about them. They're very bad in the red zone.
You just grabbed a notebook, which scares me.
I just wrote down some notes that I have. They can't score in the red zone. Since week three, they have, like, the worst success rate in the red zone. Caleb was not good yesterday. It's kind of starting to get to a point where it's concerning. You okay in there?
Now you're concerned?
Letting you go.
I'm not concerned. I would say it's worrisome that he's not the generational talent that people expected as the number one pick.
Dun, dun, dun.
Is that fair? That's fair to say.
All right, well, it's only fair for Josh to ask
this
question.
There's also a second half of the season still left to play under his first-year head coach.
Well,
so I'm not out on him.
Well, you know what's coming, right?
Say it.
Agent meter?
Oh, zero.
No.
It's lower.
Zero.
Yes. There's no way. You can't say that you're concerned and then have the Bajent meter at zero.
I'm not concerned.
It's got to be a 1%.
No.
Just a quick oneer?
No.
Just a quick
oneer. It's the Chicago Bears. Its floor is 1%.
It's a good point by Hunter, actually.
It's at zero. We have Ben Johnson now. I trust Ben.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you trust the guy running Ben Johnson's offense, though? That's what we're asking.
Ben is running Ben's offense.
No,
the quarterback running.
He's not
Ben
running
Johnson
it.
Offense.
We know he's not running.
He's executing it.
All right, here are the Bears' next 3 weeks. At the Bengals, home against the Giants, at the Vikings.
Should be three wins.
That's three winnable games.
The Bears' offense.
The Vikings?
The Bears' offense has kind of been hiding behind the defense's takeaways. Like, the defense was leading the NFL in takeaways. They still might be going into this week. So the fact that they just didn't get any yesterday, it's kind of revealing of what the offense has been the past couple weeks.
So you are and by the way, yes, the Bears do still lead the league in turnovers. They are plus 10 in turnover differential, which is the best mark in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be harder when your defense doesn't get as many, 3 interceptions a game.
They also have the most turnovers forced in the league at 16.
Yeah.
So we are questioning Caleb Williams.
I'm not questioning. I'm saying that he wasn't good. He sucked. Okay, but I'm not out on him.
He just sucked yesterday. He doesn't suck in general. He just sucked yesterday.
He had a bad game.
Let's change.
He's had a couple bad games.
Let's change it. The Bajent meter, and let's make it the Caleb's the franchise quarterback meter. Where are we at on that?
100 being he's definitely the franchise quarterback.
That's actually a good one. I'm going to put it at 65.
Wow.
65-70.
So we are closer to him being the franchise quarterback than him and not being the franchise quarterback.
I thought the best you'd give him is 50-50.
No. You can't jump.
I just want to throw this out real quick. Will did tweet yesterday at one point, if you want to see an something to the effect of, if you want to see somebody incredibly incompetent play quarterback, Justin Fields is on CBS right now.
Yeah. I stand by that.
We can all admit Justin Fields had a better Sunday than Caleb Williams.
39 points that offense
39 had? Points and a yep. win.
Justin Fields did have a really stupid jump pass that was really funny to watch. So that was after I tweeted
Now we got a cherry pick, thanks.
Justin Fields, 21 of 32, 244 yards and a touchdown pass.
That had to be like a career day for
him. We'll see what he does against the Bengals next week. Same defense.
That's true. It'll be easy to compare.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's your Bears minute with
65. I feel bad,
dude. This is
relishing in it.
This was a great weekend for the NFC North. Vikings get slaughtered on Thursday. Bears get slaughtered yesterday. Packers win in a really fun fashion that make them look like one of the best teams in the NFC. And then the Lions were off. So I guess neither good nor bad for them. They still look like a very formidable team, but. It's been a weird couple of weeks for them too. Also, so
formidable.
I don't think you would have followed up if it was formidable though. So I'm going to go with formidable.
I think it's a tomato tomato. I just didn't know if you said it one way and meant it the other.
Here's
the
issue. I think it is. Tomato, I think it's.
I hate the
formidable.
Phrase tomato tomato.
What?
He thinks it's just formidable. Don't like the phrase tomato tomato. I hate that.
As a guy who's often out over skis when it comes to words, you should embrace the tomato tomato life.
Yes, but nobody says tomato.
Sure, and that's
who says tomato?
I believe Europeans. Tomatoes.
Well, thoughts?
I've heard people say tomato before.
Okay. No, you haven't.
How are you going to tell me that I haven't heard it?
You've heard somebody. You've heard.
How are you going to tell
Will
me?
Is
how are you going to tell me what I've heard
time today?
No, that was just a stupid comment.
How are you going to tell? Wait, hold on.
How are you going to tell me what I've heard and what I haven't?
You have heard
somebody seriously
say tomato.
Yeah, down south.
Down south.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Roughly where?
So the opposite of north. That is.
Yep.
This is
I don't know how
out.
Directionally challenged
this,
you are.
This is a lash out.
Well, you asked me and I answered, and then you're telling me that I'm wrong.
You do like to do that.
Well, and in Will's
you
defense
asked me about
here.
A personal experience I had, and you're telling me I'm wrong. Yeah.
You know what? Will's side.
I didn't know
Will's
I was
side.
Wearing Meta glasses my whole life, and there's tape and Strofe's reviewing it.
Also, in Will's defense, the current Southern accent, probably closer to what the early European settlers would have talked like. So, Josh dropping
the accents.
Josh dropping the Europeans say tomato. That would actually track with someone in the South.
Did you guys watch cooking shows? I feel like tomato is getting a lot of play on cooking shows.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of cooking shows, frankly. Do you think Brian Kelly would say tomato?
Yes.
With his fake Southern accent? No,
well,
but hold on. Do you think
he
would still
job,
say it today now that he's been fired?
No, if he gets hired as the Badgers head coach, he'd get a Uper accent.
Okay, so more tomato. All right, Will. You're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, don't ask if you don't like my answer. Mm-hmm. Don't ask for my answer if you're not going
to
like
I still think you're lying.
Way.
To
and
me.
Strofe is the king of that. Strofe is the king of asking a question and then being mad at you because you give an answer
and then
he doesn't like.
Not liking the answer? Yep. Yeah. It sounds like Mussolini, too.
Whoa. Shot from across the bow.
Believe me, the amount of times I've been asked a question that she didn't expect me to know, and then she gets mad because I know it. Why would you ever know
that?
Do
you think you're too smart for your own good sometimes?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
That was not humble at all.
There are times where it probably would behoove me, I think, in my personal life and professionally, because it also raises everyone's expectations of you.
Oh, professionally?
Yes.
What happened?
Nothing in specific, but in the past it has. Like, I make a mistake, and it's like, you should be better than this. And it's like, yeah, but I made a mistake. Like, I'm not perfect. Those two things aren't mutually exclusive.
I will just say this. 1:18 p.m., October 27, 2025. Josh DiMaggio, I'm not perfect.
Yes.
First time he's ever admitted that.
I am right a lot, but I'm not perfect.
Very good. All right. Final thoughts on Packers-Steelers as the Packers get ready to host the Panthers this weekend. Have the expectations changed, A, for Green Bay for you, Joshy, and B, do you feel like you know more about this team than you did prior to yesterday?
the first part, no, they haven't changed, because for me, it's been Super Bowl or bust all year. You make that Micah Parsons trade, regardless of what the results are, the expectations would be, they need to live up to either being on the verge of a Super Bowl or in a Super Bowl. Like, that is the only situation. It's football. Things can bounce your way. Things can go against you. It would still be, to me, some sort of a failure to not make the Super Bowl, but it is what it is. It's a single game elimination. What was the second part?
Did you learn anything yesterday
that you didn't know prior? I learned that Tucker Kraft has the ability to be the guy, and that the Packers should be a pass-first offense, and instead of being sort of middle-of-the-road or run-heavy, they should rely on Jordan Love more.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. It seems like this team's identity is starting to come along.
Yes.
Right, and I think it's such a buzzword in sports.
My question is the head coach going to embrace it?
Or is he going to be too smart for his own good, like Josh is a lot of the time? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You and Matt LaFleur, two peas in a pod.
Often they say that.
Yeah. No, so I'm with you on that. I thought we learned some good things about what this offense is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
I think we learned some good things about Jordan Love under pressure, putting the game in Jordan Love's hands. Can he deliver? Yada, yada. I think that's all good. But also just like starting to see, okay, they can spread the ball around.
Yep.
Which they did. 10 different pass catchers yesterday for Jordan Love. But there was one in particular that you went, holy smokes, that guy's good. And then there was another guy who caught four balls in his return game where you go, okay, yeah, he's going to be a big part of the offense going forward.
Also, I didn't need to learn this, but I did. Romeo Dobbs is not the guy you should be throwing up one-on-one go routes to.
I'm not positive that'll stop, though.
I'm not either. But I now know that for sure. I thought I knew it for sure. It was just reconfirmed.
Good. Very good. All right. Well, Packers beat the Steelers 35-25 now, 5-1-1 in first place of the NFC. We have a couple minutes left over for once in our lives, which means we can talk about the fact the Badgers scored a touchdown.
Whoop-de-doo. I'm going to be honest.
14-point loss.
Didn't watch. Don't plan on watching. The only thing that stuck out to me was the amount of apologia that happened for Luke Fickle and the Wisconsin program, and then also an alumni being called a producer because Luke Fickle was in his feelings in the pre-production meetings that they had before the broadcast.
Podcaster, not producer.
Yeah, sorry.
Wow, you just called him a producer.
Yeah.
That's more disrespectful than podcaster.
Apologia is the plural of apologies?
It is probably a word we should leave to Will.
Yep.
I don't think he was listening, so that's why I did it.
I'm writing it down. What do you want me to do?
He is defensive today.
I think I broke him.
Yeah, he wasn't writing
I'm
it
literally
down.
Typing it in as you said that.
I started.
I don't think he's paying attention.
I started breaking him down yesterday after
he
the loss.
He is not in good shape.
And now the Caleb Williams Bears conversation has pushed him over the edge.
It's
and
funny. Josh comes out of the woodworks. They win 4 in a row. Not a peep.
Yeah. Crickets. Yeah. Crickets. I'll back you up there.
Coward.
Of course there's crickets.
Coward.
This is how this works. Don't pretend like I wasn't the one all along saying, just wait.
Oh, but it got real wait. It got real quiet the past 4 weeks.
Did you enjoy the silence?
I did.
Yeah. Mm. Bad news.
Well, now it's not going.
I mean, it's put up or shut up time for Chicago because this schedule the next couple weeks. If they don't win.
Yeah, they got to win.
1-2.
They
got to
win out.
You're going to be hearing
at least
two. They got to win out.
Win out the next three weeks.
Oh, God. Jesus. Huh? So you got the Packers twice. Hunter, go ahead.
Back to the Badgers thing and Tim Brando deciding to just literally say exactly what Luke Fickle was clearly saying in their production meeting. Again, because I've said it before, I'm going to say it tonight on Prep Mania Weekly here on ESPN Madison. I have talked to multiple high school head coaches who have all said they have not seen a Badgers coach in their school even going back to the Paul Chryst years. So this idea that they are focusing on high school recruiting in the state of Wisconsin is not true. The two games of high school games that I know of that Luke Fickle has been at was Ethan McIntosh, who is a offensive lineman for Verona High School. That last name should sound familiar. That is the son of athletic director Chris McIntosh. The other game is his sons play high school football at Edgewood here in Madison.
At Edgewood, yeah.
And he's gone to their games like a good dad should. That's it. So this idea that they are somehow focusing on it. Also, of the top 20 players in the state of Wisconsin, one of them is committed to Madison. That is Ben Wenzel from Appleton North, a linebacker.
I will also add Luke Fickle and his attempt to refute Brad Nortman proved Brad's point on not having a good relationship with his alumni by calling him a podcaster and having Tim Brando say, what does he know? Also, there was other things in Brad Nortman's comments that could have been refuted that were not. And I think we can take away as much from that. And let's just say, for the my final point on this, the guy who lied about scouts not being allowed in is probably the same guy who would lie about having relationships with high school coaches.
Yeah, no letter this week from Chris McIntosh, at least not yet. But you see a lot of dominoes beginning to fall in the college football
Luke
circle.
Fickle 2026, here we come.
Yeah. Brian Kelly, yesterday's firing from LSU. The week before, it's Billy Napier from Florida. The week before that, it's James Franklin from Penn State. These are coaches with massive buyouts and programs that have an expectation of winning. And despite what you want to say about Luke Fickle, whether or not he was the right hire at the time, whether or not he's the right hire now, whether or not he's the right guy to lead the program, the lack of action, definitive action, that is, from Wisconsin Athletics is telling that winning a championship in the near future is not necessarily priority one. You can write a letter saying you're going to allocate more resources, but there's no proof of that. That's just word salad. That's just you typing out a Word document and sending it to your donors and your season ticket holders. It's just a whole lot of nothing for me when it comes to the Wisconsin Badgers. And that's where I view it as, I don't know, I view it as a bunch of different things, but I'll cut it there.
Is there any encouragement at all by the fact that Cooper Catalano and Mason Posa were two Fickle recruits and as freshmen have played really, really well these last 2 weeks? Like, any at all? Because I was at least encouraged that, like, oh, these were two guys they targeted. They look like as freshmen they belong in the Big Ten.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you that. I mean,
feel good for those individuals.
I feel good for those individuals. I will say a 14-point loss at Oregon isn't the worst thing in the world either. It was better than we all expected.
It's not good when your team loses by two scores and it's looked at as a resume indictment.
They covered.
No, they definitely covered, yeah.
Oregon is having questions asked about them because they didn't beat your team by more and you still ended up with a two-score loss. That's not a good thing. Not to distract us too much, but I saw DK Metcalf score a touchdown. Is there anything you want to say to Will and I about what happened on Sunday?
And why I won't be eating this week?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Because you made a milk toast pick.
I do. So,
like that, Josh?
Uh-huh.
Milk toast with a Q. I will say I messed up.
Yeah.
But I won't say I'm sorry.
You got cute.
I got cute.
Yeah.
Now,
wait,
in my defense, so me, Josh, and Will built an anytime touchdown parlay. So Will and I were out having a few beers during college football on Saturday. Will said, I have an idea. The three of us should each pick an ATTD, anytime touchdown. And I said, okay, sure, but I'm not good at this. I don't bet anytime touchdowns. I didn't know it was National Tight End Day.
That's a big miss by you. That was talked about all week.
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't care about fake holidays unless I make them up.
You are literally the fake holiday guy. You and Jesse Nelson.
Yeah, I like making them up. Yes.
That's your thing.
Is it you that was talking about National Mother-in-Law Day yesterday?
Yes.
Well, that's because John Anderson brought it up, yes. After I mentioned it was National Tight End Day, and then he looked up what other days it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, missed by me for not picking a tight end.
Also,
mega miss for picking Ramondre Stevenson of all
people.
The
middest of mid running backs.
So can I at least give you my reasoning?
He would die to be Rico Dowdle.
Can I give you my reasoning at the very least?
Don't really care.
He had scored a touchdown two of the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
They were playing the Browns.
As we all know, those things are often repeatable and we should apply what happened last week to the next week.
He had been out carrying Travion Henderson, and I think he did again yesterday.
Still is.
So I thought he would have more opportunity if there was a goal line situation, which there was. They had the ball on the 1 yard line and they threw it to Stephon Diggs instead.
Do you think maybe that's an indictment of the guy you picked to score?
Well, here's the issue. I was between Stephon Diggs and Ramondre Stevenson.
I mean, that one's getting... was that his first touchdown of the season?
No.
He had one against the Bills, at least, I think.
Yeah, because he...
It just sucks that me and Josh threw out... Josh threw out even a couple extra names, and I picked, and both of them still scored touchdowns.
Yeah, it was tough that I said George Kittle and DK Metcalf, and both of them had touchdowns.
I lied. It was his first touchdown of the year for Stephon Diggs.
Gotcha.
Good pick.
Yep.
That would have been a better pick.
It would have been, because you wouldn't have been using the logic of, well, he scored 2 out of 3.
It wasn't that logic. I just thought the goal line situation would have been a... We'll try again next week.
Yeah. Me and Will will eat our fingernails and subsist off ramen noodles.
I'm having ice cube soup for dinner tonight.
Subsist. Will, you know what subsist means?
I will in a second.
Don't sound so excited.
No, I don't.
All right. I got to tell you about Door County Distillery. Locally produced, handcrafted, award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. The Bat Bleep Bourbon. It's almost Halloween. Get some of that. It's available statewide, as is the Cherry Bourbon and just the normal bourbon. I love the bourbon from Door County Distillery. It is amazing.
I love the bourbon.
Yeah, shocking. I mean, you've never heard me say that before. but every time we've gone up there, we've gone through the process. We've talked to the distiller. I mean, it is just the best. And it's available statewide. So check out their website, DoorCountyDistillery.com. Find the retailer nearest to you, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes. It's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Stop in Carlsville if you're heading up there this fall. All right, Will, your time to shine, buddy.
Apologia. It is the Latin term for apology from ancient Greek. It is a formal defense of an opinion, position, or action. I texted Josh Strofe and Hunter saying that they would have to give me an apologia if my team was 5-2.
Nope. The word you're looking for is apology.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm being Latin.
Okay, but it's Latin.
Yeah.
It's Latin. You know what? We'll let it fly.
Let me Latin. Subsist, maintain or support oneself, especially at a minimal level. I will be subsisting, I'm adding the ing, on ice cubes this week because Alex Strofe is incapable of naming a tight end.
Yep.
You could have picked anybody. Hunter Henry. You mentioned Hunter Henry at some point this week to me too. I don't remember in what context, but somehow you were talking about Hunter Henry.
Jake Tongas.
Yeah, I messed up.
Harold Fannin.
I'm already so hungry.
Are you fasting?
No, I just...
No, he's starving.
That was my last $5.
gamble responsibly, everybody. Yeah. Will's making jokes.
I'm kidding.
1-800-GAMBLER. All right. Well, good job, everybody. Wait. Hunter's probably having a serious sense of FOMO right now.
I mean, that and the fact that it's the sports equinox and we haven't talked about it at all on a sports program. I feel like it's kind of a miss by us.
Hey, that was a word one week. Equinox, Will. What does that mean? Let's see if you retain the information you learned.
Come on.
It's when everything comes together at once, lines up. Like there's a solar equinox with the sun and the moon. Yeah.
Wow.
Nailed it.
Wait, sun and the moon is a solar eclipse. Hang on.
Air horn.
Hey.
Air horn.
We're an 80% type of
clip. Yeah, he's close enough.
Yeah.
He goes, that's actually solar eclipse, Will. Hunter big brain stuff.
Yeah. Drake May can't hurt me if I just keep getting words
all right. There's four of us. Should we all watch a different sport tonight?
I'm going to watch all of them, except for hockey.
Dude, we could quad box it on YouTube TV. That's what I'm doing tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'll definitely have the World Series on. But
I'll probably be watching a little of the World Series and the NFL.
Yeah, me too.
The NFL.
Maybe a little NBA.
I also go to bed at 8 p.m. I was up way late last night, you know, grinding.
Okay, we're done here. All right, that will do it for us today.
Grinder.
We're back with it Wednesday, beginning at 12:30 Central. ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube, as well as wherever you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts,
Spotify. Forget where we were?
ESPN Wisconsin app. No, my brain was just cooking a little bit. Because I'm actually just going to let Will say goodbye to the MIA today. Go ahead, Will.
Peace.